Welcome back to Brain Body Movement, the podcast for those interested in everything nutrition, training, and mindset. I'm one of your hosts, Brad, and I'll be joined by my co-host, Brock. In today's episode, we discuss 12 macro tracking mistakes. So if you are tracking your macros at the moment, but you are not seeing results, it might be due to one of these 12 things. Also, if you enjoyed this episode or previous episodes, could you please share it with someone that might get value from it? Thanks again, Brain Body Movement.
All right, so we talk about tracking macros and calories a lot on this podcast, but people often run into some issues with tracking macros and like, oh, it's not working for me, or I'm eating in the calorie deficit. And yeah, you may be, but you might be making a few mistakes that you're just completely oblivious to. So let's run through like the big common macro tracking mistakes that people are making that may actually be placing them out of deficit, or they may be going to the effort of tracking calories and they're missing something. So let's get that confusion away out of people's minds and be like, oh, calorie deficit doesn't work for me. Calorie deficit works for everyone. It's a law of thermodynamics. You can't undo that. So, but what you can do is now become more aware of these mistakes that we're about to list. So let's start with the first one. This is often one of the most common ones that I come across. Yeah, I'm tracking. Yeah, but you're not using a digital scale. Like, it's the most common mistake. And it's just great. You go into the effort of tracking, and that has been shown to decrease the amount of calories you consume because you're more conscious of your food choices. However, if you want to actually know your numbers, then you need to be using a digital scale.
Yep. you'd be surprised at how much shit actually weighs. When you put it on a scale, you're like, oh, is that how much that actually weighs? And you wouldn't even think it. So using a digital scale, not one of those ones your mum has in the back cupboard that you have to bloody turn the dial and shit. None of that crap. An actual small digital scale that you can put on the bench and then zero it out when you put your plate on or your bowl or whatever, and then you add stuff to it. And if you're not using a digital scale, it'll tell you exactly what it is. Then a lot of error can be had, especially, oh yeah, that weighs about 100 grams and you put it on there, it's like 130. And then over time, you know, if you're having 3, 4, 5 meals a day over the whole week, you know, that's like over 20 plus meals that you could be up by like 30, 40 grams, which can add up, especially if it's like high calorie stuff like oils and stuff like that.
Yeah, the analogy I'd like to use is you're doing something half-assed, right? So let's say you're building a house and you just use half the amount of timber that is on the plan, or you're filling up your car because you've got a long journey to do, but you're only going to do $5 worth of fuel in every single time you go. And you're like, oh, why am I only getting this far down the road? Well, actually fill it up properly. So in other words, use the digital scale and track correctly. And that way you'll actually see progress rather than getting 2K down the road and being like, why did this $5 of fuel only get me 10K?
Yeah. Oh, it's so true. It's like when you see, it's the first part of like, it's just knowing what you're having. So, you know, you can write it in a diary. It's just like, yeah, meat and veg and then oats. And you're like, sweet, we're getting somewhere. We're actually tracking something, but like how much oats? Was there water? Was there milk in it? Or was there sugar? It's like, we need to know how much, because it could be like 40 grams or 80 grams, or you're just fucking pouring it in and not like, yeah, that's about that. It's like, it's very important that you use a digital scale, and they're not expensive at all, and it'll save you. Like, ask for it for your birthday or Christmas or something, or a treat to yourself, knowing that you're going to be tracking, because it is invaluable to have a digital scale.
And a common rebuttal to this is, you shouldn't have to do that yet. Yeah, you shouldn't, but you've got to a place where you're wanting to lose weight or you're wanting to see change. So how do you go about that? Let's say you get to a place where you're absolutely financially crippled. Well, it's probably worthwhile finding a way to measure your finances, what's coming in, what's going out, so you're not financially crippled, so you can get ahead. It's essentially what you're doing here. You're using the digital scale as a way of measuring what's going in, and then what's going out is your exercise, your thermic effect of food, your just basal metabolic rate. So you're measuring the in component, so you can try and get rid of the surplus of fat that is being stored on your body, essentially. So I don't understand where the friction comes from sometimes with the tracking and the use of a digital scale. Because if you were struggling with your finances, people would have no issue tracking what's going in, going out, and be like, oh, that's a responsible thing to do. Well, yeah, a responsible thing to do. If you're unsure of the nutritional value of the foods you're eating and you've gotten to a place where you're overweight and it's an unhealthy body composition, then using a digital scale is a great tool.
I think it may come from like, oh, I don't want to always be weighing stuff because that might be like a bad relationship with food. But it teaches you how much things weigh. And then eventually, once you start to see the results, then you can go, okay, that weighs about that much and be a bit more relaxed. But this is for people that are like, I'm doing everything and I'm not seeing results. And it's like, well, these mistakes are probably what's happening. And if you go through this checklist and go, okay, I'm missing this, I'm missing that, then you can improve, and that means you have not done everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Like if you're hitting one of these mistakes, then there's an area for improvement, and that could be the reason why you've hit a plateau or you're no longer seeing progress. All right, so mistake number one, not using a digital scale. Mistake number two is not tracking in grams, mils, or if you're an American, ounces. I think that's another common issue. Like people will go a cup of oats. Well, is it a heap cup? Is there lots of air in between the oats in the cup? Like a cup is a very inaccurate measurement. And yeah, sure, it may only be like 10 grams of actual oats. But if you do that over four meals throughout the day or three meals throughout the day, and you're going everything with cups, spoons, measurements like that, it's just inaccurate. If you're going to go to the effort of actually tracking your calories, which yes, it does take some effort, then you might as well do it properly. So use a digital scale and then track it in grams and mils.
It's so much easier just putting a
Yeah,
bowl there and
I
weighing it out instead of, oh, which cup do I got to use? I got to do three quarter. Now you got to find the cup, and then it's just shit washing them and stuff. It's just like, use a scale. It's nice and easy. Nice and grams. Grams we like because we're in Australia. I don't know if Americans use ounces. That's like, can get even more
Yeah,
complicated. But
they commonly do for like meat servings, like 4 ounces of chicken, 6 ounces of chicken, 8 ounces of chicken.
There you go. Pick whichever one would work best for you, but don't use the cup sizes and stuff. That's just it just gets too out of hand too quickly. And you can be very precise with everything. When you log it in your MyFitnessPal or whatever app you're using, you can just go, yep, bang, this is a serving size and this is how much I'm having. And you know exact one. And it's going to be precise each time. Whereas when you start doing cups and other serving sizes, it can be like very up and down, and then you're like, well, what's going on? And sometimes you could be like overestimating for like a week, and the calories are bumping up, and you're like, I'm doing everything right. And then you dramatically change something when really you're just like, okay, measurements off a little bit, let's just readjust and go from there instead of like counting your calories even more when you really didn't need to because you were actually eating in a surplus.
Now we've used like cups and spoons as examples here, but let's say you're going with fruit and you're using a banana and you track it as one medium banana. Now, is that medium banana 100 grams of banana or is it 200 grams of banana? Because that's literally double the calories in difference. And that makes a big difference. If you eat a banana 3 times a day because you're a bananatarian, then that's going to make a huge calorie difference at the end of the day. So just place it on the scale and track it in grams and mils. Same with like a sweet potato. Don't track it as one medium sweet potato. Don't track it as one large chicken breast. Take the time to use the digital scale and then track it in grams and mils.
Just being more precise, really. That's what we're trying to get out here.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, mistake number three is not tracking your vegetables. Now, your vegetables have calories in them. So if we're wanting to track everything in your diet, then you should probably be checking your vegetables as well. Now, understand where some coaches come from on the sentiment of, I don't want you to track your veggies. I want you to eat as much of them as possible because it may fill people up. But if people are trying to hit a calorie target and macro target and they're being trying to get 5 grams either side of those targets, but then they're told to eat freely on vegetables, you could eat 200, 300, 400 calories surplus of vegetables throughout the day. There goes your deficit, there goes your weight loss. And you don't see any results in progress. So if it's going in your body, track it. And that includes vegetables.
Yeah, because it definitely, like you said, it can add up, and you're like, oh, but I'm eating healthy. Like, how am I not losing weight? I'm eating all this like healthy vegetables and stuff, and it's like, yeah, they do have calories in it. There's no zero calorie foods. It's that myth's been busted. So just check for veggies. It's not that hard. Like, Again, put it on the scale in grams, boom, done. And don't use cup sizes.
It is rather simple once you get into the habit of it. I can understand it being a bit tedious at first, but yeah, once you get used to using a scale, it's almost like second nature. Okay, mistake number four when it comes to tracking calories is not tracking your condiments, sauces, dressings, and oils. Now, these things all contain calories. And like I mentioned before, if it's got calories, track it. So it all adds up. Like it may be like 20 mil of sauce here. Oh, I did a 2 second spray of, or a two millimeter, 3 mil use of oil here. Yeah, that's probably like 30 calories. If you do that 3, 4 meals a day, bang, 120, 150 calories. And if you've been weighing in cups and measurements, this is how you get yourself out of a deficit. You don't see progress and lose weight. So all these little factors, like they may seem insignificant and small, but when you stack them throughout the day randomly, like, oh, I had 100 calories worth of sauce at breakfast. I had 40 calories worth of a dressing at lunch. And then I had 70 mil worth of oil with dinner. Bang, 210 calories like that without even thinking about it. So track everything, track your veggies, track your condiments, sauces, dressing, and oils.
It's so easy to add up, especially oil, because you're just like, yeah, that's about right. And same with the sauces. You're just like, if you even if you do track it, some people just have it in like, yeah, this is my standard sauce. But like sometimes you're a bit more squeezy sometimes, and like sometimes it's a bigger play, and it can all add up. Just chuck it on the scale. And then go from there. And the thing is, as well, it's important to track these kind of things because, yes, we are being very pedantic when it comes to stuff like this. But the thing is, there is an inbuilt error when you track anyway. So you need to limit that error as much as possible. So, say, like, your error is 200 calorie buffer, either way, of just like miscalculating certain things, or even on food labels, they can be up to 20% wrong. So, we want to minimize the error throughout the whole process of tracking for things like that. Because you could be like dialed in and then you miss the sources, which is, like you said, 210 calories. But there's your buffer for something that you just scanned like the other day. And you're like, what the fuck's going on? Like, and then you're just out of your deficit and you're wondering why that calorie counting doesn't work and stuff like that. So it's very important to try and minimize where you can and not worry too much about like things you can't control, like a barcode error of something that they do, like, you know, where you have that 20% either side.
Yeah, I figure if you're going to do something, you might as well do it properly, right? Like don't half-ass it and skip all these things and then throw your hands up in the air and be like, it's not working. Calorie deficit doesn't work. Well, hang on. It does. You're probably just missing something. So there's four things you might be missing. And mistake number five, again, down the same route, it's not tracking liquid calories. So things like your coffee, shakes, juices, and alcohol. Now, again, just little things, they all add up. Just because you're drinking it doesn't mean it doesn't contain calories. Now, the common one I see missed is coffee. People will often have one, two coffees a day. If they're having just a regular milk or even just your standard almond milk nowadays, it's like barista quality in most coffee shops. That's 200 calories alone. If you're having two of them, bang, 400 calories, deficit gone. Why am I losing weight? Well, you're not tracking your coffee. It's something so simple. Or, oh, I had a glass of wine. Yeah, but wine contains calories. You got to track that shit.
One glass, eh? Yeah. Put that
Yeah.
shit on a scale and see how much mils is actually in your said one glass, because yeah, that is a big one. I see it like I just had one glass of wine. It's like that one glass could probably be two glasses worth from like, you know, the big fancy glasses that you have, because you don't want just like a small little standard drink in there, because, you know, it makes you feel like you've only had one glass when really you've had like two or three in that one. And yeah, like you said, coffee, big one. It is hard when you're getting out and you're getting coffee. You're like, how much milk do you reckon they put in that thing? It's like it can be hard, but what we say to that is like, if you're gonna do it, just overestimate just a little bit, and then if you're gonna have the same thing every time, just track it as that same thing each time. So then that does not change. It's when you go, oh, I might have a large today, I might have a small today, I might add vanilla syrup, I might have sugar. No, I'll go stevia this time. It's just like try and keep it the same. Like the less variables, the better, especially if you're in a fat loss phase. And for people that are listening to this and are drawn to this episode, it's probably people in a fat loss phase. So if you just simplify things, it's easier for you. Then you're not like wondering, was it the coffee or was it the bite of Snickers that I had at lunch or whatever? And you just, spin yourself out of this like world because you're like, what the fuck is going on? It's just like, just keep it standard, stock standard. People eat the same shit anyway, most of the time, like 7 to 10 meals probably. And they're worried about like having the same meals over and over again. It's like you do it pretty well anyway. So find the meals that you like and yeah, be careful of the alcohol's a big one, man. Especially like you go out on the weekend, you have a couple of drinks and then your inhibitions are lowered. Inhibitions are lowered and you can do a lot more. And it's like if you are tracking, you gotta count that shit because that shit adds up. You're like, oh yeah, I've had like 3 beers. It's like where's my six pack gone? It's like, mate, you fucking drank it all. What are you on about? So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the hard one to track though, because often alcohol impedes memory. So
Yeah, exactly. Gotta kind of do a video or something. This is
yes.
beer number one.
So that's a hard one to track, but yeah, so I will have a coffee out on weekends, and pretty much regardless of where I get it, unless the cup that I get it in is significantly different in size, it's pretty much just the same stock standard 250 mil of milk in an iced latte that I get. So it's always tracked, and I don't track the coffee, and I don't try and track it as Almond Iced Latte. I literally just track the milk brand. That's it, because that's pretty much what's got the calories. In terms of the actual coffee bean itself, what is it like,
Couple,
two,
maybe,
three?
yeah,
Yeah,
2 or 3, yeah, something like
at most. So I'm not overly worried about that, considering I'm already guessing the milk quantity itself. And when guessing, I'm guessing 10% more. So if I think it's 250 mil, I'm going to track it as 275 mil, just to give myself that buffer, because like you said, most people that are tracking are in a fat loss phase.
better overestimating when you are in a fat
Yeah,
loss.
absolutely.
Same with the number on the scale. So say it goes to like 8 grams or 18 grams, track it as 20. Don't track it as 15. Even if it's 17, don't track it as 15. Just overestimate. It's fucking 3 grams. Like stop shortchanging
Yeah,
yourself.
or you could just track it for exactly the grammage it says on the
You
scale.
can, but
Like,
then you can get into like orthorexia and shit like that. They just round up.
Now these 3 points are things that people just might not be thinking that they need to track. So like veggies, I don't really need to track that. Condiment sauces, dressings, there's negligible calories in those. I'd only use a spray oil, it's not a lot of oil. And coffee, what can be the damage there? Now, the next one I think people just aren't aware of. So mistake number six is not tracking the bites, licks, sips, and that important parent tax. So this is like you making yourself a sandwich. You get whatever spread you're out, and you pour the spread on, and there's spread still on the knife, and you lick the knife. There's calories on that. Someone goes, "Oh, you should try this," and you have a bite. Calories in that. Oh, you should have a sip of this drink. And you just have one little sip. Calories in that. Or you buy something nice for the children, like a little sneaky chocolate bar or something, and you're like, oh, you got to pay your parent tax first, and you have a bite of the chocolate bar
It.
before the kids are allowed. So all those little bites, licks, sips, and that important parent tax, they all add up in calories throughout the day, and you're probably just blissfully unaware of it. So now you are aware that we've brought this to your attention. Just be mindful of that and minimize the amount of bites, licks, sips, and parent tax you are consuming.
Yep, the parent tax is a funny one when you're just want to be with the kids or and they just like offer you some food. Oh, yeah, sure, no worries. And even like making food too, if you've got like a meal prep, even like if you made sandwiches or something and there's a bit of ham or turkey there and you just make the sandwich and then you just have a bit of bite of turkey before and you're like, oh, that doesn't really count. Or off of someone else's plate, you're trying it because you're at a new restaurant and stuff. Like all these little things add up over time, especially if you're doing it day in, day out. And it's like that's where a lot of the calories can add up, especially if you're like on the couch as well, and someone's got some chips there, and you just forget, especially if you don't track like that day, you just forget that you had those things as well. You're like, oh, what did I have? And it's just like breakfast, lunch, dinner. You're like, really? Did you really go for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and not have anything in between? It's like, especially people at work, I've heard stories of there's chocolate drawers around when people get stressed and stuff. He's like, here, you're stressed. And you probably fucking forget because you're stressed all the time. So you're just like, it's just so normal to go, oh, actually, you know what? I do reach into that chocolate stash that they have at work. And it's like, it's not my fault because they're always bringing it in. So it's like, okay, well, yes, you can like not eat it. Or if you are going to eat it, then you just track it. Like yes, it's probably like 80 calories or whatever one of those chocolates are. It's like, but 80 calories adds up over the week. Like you're doing that 5 days a week, you know? What's that? Fucking 40, 400?
And yeah, 80 times 5 is 400, yes.
Quick math.
And if you're doing the other points that we mentioned before, so like you're not tracking your veggies, you're missing some sauces and dressings here and there, or you're not tracking your oils, and you're missing two coffees a week, that's your deficit gone. So everything, track everything. Like if you're gonna do it properly. Otherwise find another form of cognitive restraint and restriction that works for you that isn't tracking. Because if you're tracking and not seeing the progress, but you're missing all these things, it would be extremely frustrating. Like, extremely frustrating. Oh, I'm doing everything right. Well, if you're missing all these, then you're not exactly doing everything right, are you? So just be patient, reflect on these six mistakes that we've laid out here and the six still to come, and see where you can improve. And okay, so I haven't been doing that correctly. So that'll move us on to mistake number seven. And that's not double checking the food labels or the serving sizes. Now, I'm not sure about you, but the first time I got out a serving size of peanut butter, I wanted to cry. Is so small. A serving size of ice cream, so small. A serving size of cereal, my lord, it is small. So make sure you're double checking the serving sizes and then checking the food label. So if you scan a barcode and it doesn't match up to what it says on the label, then you may have to just manually enter it. And you can just do a little quick add function on your MyFitnessPal, or just make a mental note of like, okay, I've got to have this many left over at the end of the day. That's one that, again, probably blissfully unaware of, that the serving sizes are a lot smaller than you think. Yep, oh, I've got a serving out. No, use your digital scale, weigh it, track it in grams, and then that way you get a more accurate serving size. Or let's say, I don't know, what's a better example? Let's say there's something that you would think would be one serving size, like it's one packet, and it's like a small packet of like protein crisps. And you open it, and you devour the whole packet, and then you look at the back and it says two serving sizes and you've tracked one. Well, you've now consumed double the calories than you thought you did. Again, adds up at the end of the day. So just check your nutritional labels, check your serving sizes, because sometimes they're quite deceiving. And they're trying to make you, like, some of the serving sizes in a packet of something, you'll be like, how? It's meant to feed a family of six and I eat the whole thing in one sitting. Like, just double check. It doesn't hurt to double check. Like I've mentioned many times, if you're going to do something, do it properly.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is as well, if you are tracking with the digital scale in grams, the serving sizes won't matter too much as well because you're tracking in grams. But if you are going to do it, you want to do it before you eat it because you're like, oh yeah, I'll have this much. And then you're like, fuck, that's like 900 calories. You're like, shit, maybe not. And I think the first time this actually caught me out was a packet of Smarties. So I scanned it, and it went to like 75 calories. I was like, this is fucking great. Like 50 grams of Smarties, I'm gonna have like 70, 80 calories. This is great. And then had it all, and then I just like double checked. I was like, hang on, there's three serving sizes in this. It's like over 200 calories. I'm like, oh, I thought I was getting away with something good here. I thought I found the chocolate of choice, but back to the caramel koalas, I think. So yeah, it's really important. But like I said, the gram if you are weighing in grams, a lot of that will just it won't be existent because they'll be like, you're going to grams, so everything's going to it's just going to be a lot easier.
Now, to throw a little caveat out there, sometimes in, I'm going to use MyFitnessPal as an example, you go to click on the serving size and it'll just say, like,
Oh,
I don't
just one
know.
serving kind of thing.
Yeah, one serving. Click on that and try and change it to grams and mils. If you can't, then you'll have to look at the label and see how many grams or mils are in a serving, and then you have to get that amount out so it can be tracked. Or let's say you get 1.5 times that amount out, then you put 1.5 servings. So sometimes you can't switch to gram and mils, so you will have to go with the actual serving size, and that will involve a little bit of mental gymnastics to figure out how to track it.
Yeah,
But
they need to fix
it
that.
can be done. But like some of them just don't have it, so that's a case if it is what it is. You've got to do what you can with that situation. Now, let's say you consume 1.6, then track it as, I don't know, 1.75 or something, or 1.8, or 1, sorry, 2 servings. And that way you're overshooting again. Like you said, you'd rather overestimate than underestimate, especially when your goal is fat loss.
You won't come into that too often, but if you do, that's definitely good.
Yeah, it does occasionally. So I felt it was worth mentioning.
Sure.
Now, another one that does happen, but doesn't happen too often, and that's companies will put the net carbs on the nutritional label and not the total carbs. So net carbs is the carbohydrates minus the fiber, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So yes, fiber is great for you. Yes, it takes a lot of calories to burn through, but it's still got calories in it, and you still want to track your total carbs. So ignore the net carbs. Don't track net carbs. Track your total carbs, because even though it's fiber, it's still got calories in it. It's still a carbohydrate, still an energy source. So track it. As we've been saying, theme of the podcast, that's got calories, track it.
Yeah, it just gets too wishy-washy when you start trying to do net carbs. A lot of this was like the keto crew
Yeah, keto crew.
trying to think that they're having less cut. Like you could technically track protein as like maybe 3 calories because of the thermic effect of food, but we just don't. Like it's 4, it just makes it easier. Like we said, overestimating, especially when you're in a deficit, it's a lot easier. So just it's better to overestimate than to underestimate, because then you'll be like, what is going on? Like, and then you just adjust your calories if you're losing weight too fast, which, golly, what a bad situation to be in.
Yeah, this is a common one, and where I notice it commonly is with your health foods. So because they are health foods and they're designed for or to help you sustain fat loss, protein bars are notoriously bad for doing this, because they're pumped full of fortified fiber and artificial fiber. They'll put the net carbs up there and not the total carbs. So just be very mindful of that. They are trying to make it seem like there's less calories in their product, because it is a health conscious product. So it's health minded individuals that are buying protein bars over chocolate bars. So what do they want to do? They want to make it seem like it's got less calories, so therefore it's better for you calorie wise.
That's
So
the same with the serving sizes. They probably put more serving sizes in and say 99 calories per serving, and it's like 4 servings in there.
yeah, exactly. So the common ones that come to mind are your protein bars, and then, like, your Fiber One bars. They're quite popular for getting some fiber in. Well, they go off net carbs as well, not total carbs. So I just figured that was something worth mentioning. Okay, that moves us on to macro tracking mistake number 9, and that is an inconsistent weighing method. Now, when you cook food, in particular your meats, your vegetables, your rices, your pastas, oats is probably another one as well, the weight of said food changes. Now, if it's a meat and vegetable, the water content actually comes out of the food, so it will be lighter after cooking. If it's something like a rice or pasta, it will be heavier after cooking. So the easiest way I find to overcome this is just weigh everything raw. And that way you know that that's its actual weight. However, if you are weighing something cooked, then try and follow the same cooking procedure each time, and just always weigh it cooked. So just be consistent with whatever method you choose, but preference is definitely raw for me. I mean, it just takes any sort of discrepancy out. And like we've said the whole way along, you just want to be as accurate as possible, because there is going to be just human error, general human error. So let's be as accurate as possible. And raw is the most accurate way because there's no cooking method disruption.
Yep, exactly. So as soon as you grab the food, just weigh it, whatever it is, because that without adding anything or taking anything away, which is basically your water. Because imagine if you had your bowl of oats, which is like 80 grams or something dry, and then you start adding water to it and water and water, and it could be like 400 or 500 grams, and you're like, oh yeah, I had it cooked, but it's 500 grams. And it's just like, how the fuck do you know like how many calories that is? It's like so inconsistent. And same with like the cooking method, even like some people like with steaks, even some people like it raw, some people like it medium raw, and you rarely do you cook it exactly the same every single time. It's like chicken's a bit different because it's like, but still, it might dry out and everything. So raw it up, mate. That's the best way you're gonna do. And don't like cook it one time, like weigh it raw, and then the next time weigh it like not raw, and you're just like all over the shop, and you're like, I just don't know why I'm getting these all wrong, like I'm not losing weight or whatever. It's like, it's you're so inconsistent with like your weighing method. Just pick one, stick with it. Even if it is off a little bit, you're going to be consistently off, and then that'll just ease out the big fucking peaks and valleys that you may get with the inconsistent tracking and
Now,
weighing.
just quietly, I quite love how you said medium raw, not medium rare.
Did I say medium raw? Nice. I didn't even pick up on that. I'm just
I
saying
reckon
medium raw.
you, yeah, I reckon. I reckon you keep this part in.
Yeah, definitely.
But you're wondering why you're getting inconsistent results, right? It's because of an inconsistent weighing method. Like it, again, this can be hundreds of calories difference. So yeah, our recommendation is just raw dog it. I mean, it's the most accurate. It takes out any discrepancies to cooking method, and you want to be as accurate as possible if you're going to go to the effort of tracking your calories. So yeah, just be consistent with your tracking method, and then preference is raw dog.
Raw dog it. Raw dog
Yep.
food.
Okay. Macro tracking mistake number nine, and that is macro tracking mistake number 10, and that is only focusing on macros. So what I mean by this is like not ignoring calories. I mean not prioritizing food quality. So it's like, okay, I can have a Pop-Tart here. I can have a donut here. I can have three protein shakes throughout the day to get my protein needs in. I can have a greens powder to get my greens. And the rest will just be all foods that I really enjoy. And I choosing them purely for their hedonic value. Well, you're probably going to end up feeling like shit. Like, yes, you may lose fat, lose weight in the meantime, but you're gonna feel like shit. You're not gonna be able to sustain it for very long because you feel like shit. It'll affect your training performance. It'll affect your mood. It'll affect recovery, affect all these things. Food quality is still important. So still prioritize your minimally processed, whole, nutrient dense foods. Like we say, 80% of the time. And then 10 to 20% of the time, you can incorporate your three Caramello Koalas. You can incorporate your Raffaello's. Like these are foods that you can include in your diet while still achieving progress. And in some cases, I would even argue that they are potentially the most important foods in your diet because they make you feel like you're not missing out, and therefore you can adhere to your diet long term. And in adherence is key. So instead of just focusing on the macros, look broad picture and look for good food quality as well. Like if you're just having like a like chocolate bars, lollies, potato chips, and then having protein shakes, maybe a bit of Greek yogurt to get your protein in, and you're just filling the rest with shit, you're probably going to be extremely full as well because it's not very satiating food choices. So if you prioritize better food quality and you incorporate some leafy greens, some potatoes for their satiating factor, some oats, some lean meats, you're probably going to be a lot more satiated, and you're not going to run into hunger, and then you're going to be able to sustain that diet longer because it's only so much you can willpower yourself through hunger. So food quality is important despite what a lot of fitness influencers will tell you online.
Yeah, it's quite important. And you know, like when you've been eating like shit and then you
Oh,
start
you know.
eating,
And you're like,
I just need some veggies or something. I just need to start eating better. And then you do. And then you feel so much better. And then if you're in the mindset of, oh, I'm restricting all these nice foods, that's when you can go off the rails again. So that's why incorporating it in within your diet and going for long-term success, it's like flexible dieting, the way we love doing it while tracking your calories and macros. And the thing is as well, if you are like either even if you're by yourself or working with a coach, I do like seeing how much fiber you're having in your diet as well. Like they say, what, roughly about 15 grams per thousand or so, roughly
Yeah,
around there.
12 to 15
12
grams
to
per 1,000
15,
calories.
which is a good estimate to have. Obviously, if you go on quiet loads, it can be hard to get that, but it's good. It's a good aim. It's good to aim at it. And then like going back to like number three of like not tracking your veggies. How does the coach know that you're getting your fiber in if you're not tracking your veggies? So that's also another point on that. So important with food quality. Like you just feel so much better. And the thing is as well with highly processed foods, the calories from it you do utilize them a lot more than you do with your whole foods just because of the fiber content, because they've been processed a lot more. So it's easily digestible. So with people who are like that just can't eat whole foods, what do they do? It processes it so it's like a liquid. So like a liquid shake. It's just easier to get into the system. So that's just another reason why we do prefer to go whole foods, because one, you feel better. Two, you can eat more while eating less calories. And three, you're not going to get like that, like the feeling of always wanting more when you're having like desserts and shit all the time.
Well, that's what happens. These highly processed foods find their way into your diet, and you find yourself having them more and more and more. And this could be something like a protein bar, which is a health conscious food, but it creeps its way into your diet, and you're finding yourself having one a day, and then you find yourself having two a day because you end up craving that food because it's been engineered for you to eat more of it. Whereas the whole foods are just, they're just there, right?
It's
And
chilling.
like you mentioned before, this it reminded me straight away of us coming back from Brussels in Belgium, and we had drunk a fair bit, and we hadn't eaten very well. And I vividly remember this: we're on the plane on the way back, or maybe waiting at the airport to get the plane on the way back. And you went, "Oh man, I'm so keen for just a bowl of broccoli when I get home," because we hadn't been eating well. And it was like, yeah, it's true. You know when you haven't been eating well because your body will be like, "Oh, you probably need some of this food," and you feel into it, and you go, "Yeah, I'm lacking this." So food quality, as much as it's harder to break down and therefore it requires more calories to get through, so it may put you in a larger deficit that way as well, it also affects your mood, how you feel. And if you're not feeling good and you're going to train, it'll affect your training performance. Like this is a multifaceted point, this one. So don't just focus on the numbers, like still prioritize good food quality as well. The way I'd recommend doing it is find your protein source, and preferably a whole food, so like a lean meat, a tofu, a tempeh, a Greek yogurt, eggs, etc. And then base your meal around that. That way you're getting the high quality protein source in, and then you can go, okay. And something that I like to do, which is maybe some strange to some people, is I like to get either a serving of fruit or veg in with every meal that I eat. Now, that could be I have chicken, rice, and avocado. Or it could be I have a burrito bowl, and the burrito bowl's got salsa in it. And my brain will go, okay, that's tomato, bit of capsicum, bit of onion, and that counts as a serving of fruit and veg. That could be a way of you prioritizing food quality. Okay, I'm going to choose my protein source, and then I'm going to choose a fruit and veg to have with each meal. Okay, I've made sure that I've covered protein needs. I've made sure I've covered micronutrient needs. Job done. I can fill in the rest with some foods that make me feel like I'm not missing out on my diet, which makes me adhere to my diet long term, which makes me see results because I'm not doing any of the macro tracking mistakes above because the boys have laid them out for me and I'm now aware of them.
Exactly. And don't feel like you're missing out, because those highly processed foods are always going to be there. So you can easily just grab one if you really needed it. And that's what's good about tracking your calories. Like, you know how many calories you've got, you know your budget, and you spend them however you please. But like, we know that for long-term success, spending them in a good way, aka whole foods mainly, everything just runs better. You recover better, you train harder, sleep better. Your mental clarity is a lot better. You know, when you feel like shit and you're just like eating crap all the time, you're like, I can't think. And then you just keep going into that cycle and then the shit sleep and then the caffeine. And yeah, good fun.
You know, as we said, you know. Okay, now these next two aren't actually to do with like your tracking method or how you go about tracking things. This is more a broader picture. And we'll start with mistake number 11, and that's eating out too much. Now, please tell me you are not taking your food scale to a restaurant. So if you if you're a normal functioning member of society, you're not taking your food scale to a restaurant. So if you're eating out, you therefore have to guess the amount of calories that are in the food that you're eating. And you don't got no idea how much butter they've thrown in to make the vegetables taste nice. You got no idea how much oil's been used in the pan to make the give it a nice char to whatever protein source you've had. You've got the condiment that they've got on the side. You've got no idea how many calories in that. So it's all guesswork. Now, as we've said, you want to be as accurate as possible, but we understand that you've got to live life. Like you may be going on date night with your partner. You may be celebrating someone's birthday and you've just got to, okay, I'm having birthday cake tonight. Like that's something that I'll just randomly try and guess how many calories is or leave a buffer for it. But if you're eating out too much and you're guessing too much, it can very easily throw you out of deficit, which could be a reason why you're not seeing progress and that fat loss result that you desire.
It is a big one because I don't think most people are eating out every single night. Like there's very few people, and if they are, that's when you've really got to learn how much things weigh and go, okay, I'm gonna be having this, or have going to the same restaurant and tracking it as the same thing and seeing from there. And when you're looking in the menu as well, especially steaks, they do have the grams on there, but like, is that steak exactly 250 grams? I fucking doubt it, and the amount of oil that they have. So yeah, it is a big one. You could definitely do it, but just put something in, like just guesstimate it a little bit. And the more you weigh stuff at home, the more you can kind of compare. Okay, that one that weighs about that, and we've said it before, gamify it of like when you're at home, when you know you're gonna have steak or you know you're gonna have chicken, you go, all right, how much does this weigh? Just visually looking at on a plate, like how much does this weigh, and just check, and you'd want to do it like after as well, not just before, but like after. And you go, all right, this is how much this weighs visually, and then once it's cooked, this is how it would look, because it would be a lot more than, because it shrinks. Most things shrink when they cook because of the water contents coming out of it. So it's just another thing. And then if you really have no idea, then you can, you're just gonna have to put something in, because what can stuff you up is like, if you're looking at the trends of your average calories throughout the day, you're like, oh, you know, yeah, 2,500, 3,000, 2,700. And then you're like, got a 1,300 day. You're like, what the fuck happened here? You're just like, oh, I went out for dinner. I'm like, and you didn't track anything? Like, that's going to bring your whole average down. And I have no idea what to work for. So, with like my head algorithm, it's like, we just take that whole day out, or at least try and track as much as possible, because you're going to be within a little bit and you just up that buffer by like 20% usually. So you're like, all right, it's about, you know, 800 calories. All right, let's bump that shit up, you know, to 960, I believe, which would be 20%.
Yeah, so there's two strategies you can go with. You can go with tracking something or you can go with leaving a buffer. So depending on who I'm coaching, who I'm talking to is where I'll give that advice. Majority of the time I say, look, if you're eating out, you don't want to think about food, just make sure you leave a large buffer and then you know how many calories you've got spare left in your day and then you can make more informed decisions surrounding that. And then when I'm going through numbers myself, come check-in time, I just take that day out. Now, a little pro tip here for the fellas: 9 times out of 10, if you're on a date and it's with your partner, they will be taking a photo of the food, so you don't have to track there and then because they're taking a photo of the food for you, so you can look back at the photo and be like, oh, maybe it was this much, and then you can make a more informed decision without being distracted from the present moment. Because I don't know many partners that aren't taking photos of their meals nowadays. I don't know about Elmar, but looks like she takes a fair few photos of your meals out. And same with Mitch. Shout out to him. I know he sits there like a good little boy opposite the table to his lovely wife Ronnie while she takes a photo of the food, because he's often sat there, arms crossed, just wanting to eat his food while she takes a photo. So if he was going to be tracking, he could just go, "Hey, hon, do you mind if I have a look at the photo you took at dinner? I'm just want to make a more accurate guess of the food I'm eating." And now, you'd only do this, in my opinion, if you do have a specific fat loss goal. If you don't have a specific fat loss goal, then just go enjoy dinner out with your spouse, with your family, whatever it may be, and just enjoy the moment. Unless you've got a specific fat loss goal, this is the only reason why you would track and go to the
Yeah.
effort of tracking or creating a buffer. Agreed?
Agreed.
Yeah.
And we've done an Eaten Out guide, haven't we?
We certainly have. So go
So,
listen to
yeah, go find that in the
that.
search button. If you're on Spotify, it's up the top. Just search Eating Out guide.
Yeah. Wrap that around your ears and then can come back and listen to macro tracking mistake number 12, which is not planning ahead. Now, we say plan ahead with literally everything, but it's because it's so important. Now, it's cliche as fuck, but failing to prepare is preparing to fail. It's so true, and it is cliche, but it holds merit and truth. So let's say you're going about your day and something pops up in your day and you haven't tracked meals the night before, or you haven't prepared meals, or you don't have an option in your mind of like, if this happens at work and I don't get a lunch break, what happens? You've got to plan ahead for these situations. So, or it could be eating out, for example. You plan ahead and go, okay, on Friday, I'm going to eat out. It's probably going to be a more calorie dense meal. I don't really want to think about food. What I might do is I might take away 100 calories from each day to give me an extra 600 calories on that day where I'm eating out. And then I don't have to think about food on that day. I can just enjoy the meal, the moment with family, friends, loved ones, whatever it may be. So plan ahead. Now, planning ahead could look like meal prep on a Sunday. It could look like making the meals the night before. It could look like, let's say you prepare dinner. You just prepare leftovers to take the lunch to work the next day. So you cook two meals. There's so many different ways that you can plan ahead that allow you the flexibility of on the fly being able to be like, yep, I'm prepared for this situation. Yep, I'm prepared for this situation. Like personally, I know that if I get stuck in a situation where, let's say I'm going on a long haul drive, I know, at this service station, I can stop in and I can get a protein bar and an apple. Or I can grab a protein shake from the fridge and an apple, and that is a more nutrient dense option than opting for a meat pie and a iced coffee. Or let's say I'm caught at the pinch, I don't have time to go home and cook something, and I want something now. Okay, I can get a ready-made salad and some deli meat from Coles or Woolies. Like, that's the planning ahead that you have, and you know you've got these options in the back of your mind, and be like, okay, if I come into this situation, I'm prepared for it.
Yep. And planning ahead for actually tracking too. Like I tell a lot of my clients that if you're going to have a massive day and not a lot of time to actually track throughout the day, you just put in what you're going to have the next day, like at night. It's just as simple as like, all right, what am I going to have for breakfast? What am I going to have for lunch? And what am I going to have for dinner? And then you can adjust if things like, if you start to reach into that chocolate drawer at work or whatever, you can just add it and then you just take away stuff from other things that you're having throughout the day, because you know roughly how many calories. Well, if you've been listening to this podcast for long enough, you would know how many calories you would be consuming to lose weight, to put yourself into a deficit. And then, so you've got your calories there, and then you just shift stuff around, just play like gymnastics with your calories, and go, okay, I've had a couple chocolates here. I'm just going to pull away a little bit of rice or potato or something from dinner, or not going to have that dessert tonight because now I've had, Terry's chocolates or whatever it fucking is. So planning ahead throughout, and even like, because I see time and time again, you're like, all right, I'm going to track, and then you track for one day, and then the next day you forget one meal, and then that one meal turns into two meals, and then you're sitting in bed, you're like, fuck, I haven't tracked today, and then you get out your phone and you're like, all right. Or even the next morning, you're like, shit, what did I have yesterday? I had about that. And you're like, you even put it on the scale and you're like, oh, I'll remember what that number is. And there's like four or five different things each meal. That's like 15 different things throughout the day. You're like, wait, was the banana 100 grams or was it 150 grams? And you're like, how much honey did I put in there? You're like, what, how much was that yesterday or the day before? And you're just like, fuck. And then that's where things can just like go to shit because you're just guessing. So put it in straight away, like even before or after you've had the meal or the night before, and that's a good part of planning because we are really bad at remembering what we actually eat and specifically how many grams we actually have.
Yeah, notoriously bad at it. That's a big contributor to the obesity epidemic we currently find ourselves in. Now, a little pro tip here with the planning ahead. Let's say you know you get to the end of your day and you're often craving something a bit sweeter. So how would you go about incorporating something into your diet that hits that sweet craving and sweet fix for you and you don't feel like you're missing out? So you track it the day before, and then let's say you go about your whole day and you get to the end of the day and you're like, you know what? I actually don't feel like it today. Pull it away, and you've actually created a larger deficit, so you may see fat loss faster. Let's say you get to the end of the day and you do want it, then you've already accounted for it. Eat it, and you can eat it completely guilt-free, knowing you're still going to be making progress towards your goals because you haven't done any of the previous 11 mistakes throughout that day. You've listened to this podcast, you've nailed it, and you're like, okay, I've accounted for this. It's within my calories and macros, so I can eat it guilt-free, and I've planned ahead and easy as.
Yes, that's good. I like that. It's just like knowing that it's there. It's kind of almost like
Well, one, it can be something for people to look forward to at the end of the day, right? Like it's like, oh, I know when I finish my eating, I can have, I don't know, you can get like a little 50 calorie Fiber One bar or something. Or and it's just that little bit of sweet fix. It's not overly bad. Or you can go, okay, I've allotted for, I don't know, 10 chocolate coated blueberries. Like it's just something small that people can potentially look forward to at the end of the day. And let's say you get to the end of the day, you'd be like, nah, I'm satiated. I've eaten lots of good, whole, nutrient dense food today, and I don't feel like eating that. Then you've just created a larger deficit for yourself. So that's often something that I will recommend to a lot of the people I work with is just track something that would be not deemed as your traditional health conscious food the night before. Work the rest of your calories around it. And if you get to the end of the day, you're like, okay, I actually don't want that. I'm not craving that. I'm liking how I'm feeling. I'm feeling good. I'm eating the nutrient dense food. I'm actually quite full. Remove it away. Bang, larger calorie deficit.
I love that. That's really good. I might have to start implementing that with some of my clients. It's almost like when you hide money in your wallet when you go out, and then you come home the next day and you find money. You're like, fuck yeah, let's go. That's exactly what that would feel like, I would think.
So it's a good little strategy, and that's a little pro tip that I thought I'd add at the end for the people.
For the people.
Okay, so just to run back over the macro tracking mistakes. So first mistake, not using a digital scale. Second mistake, not tracking in grams and mils or ounces for the American folk. Mistake number three, not tracking your veggies. Now that includes your greens, like all veggies. Mistake number four, not tracking condiments, sauces, dressings, oils. Mistake number five, not tracking liquid calories. So that would include your coffees, shakes, alcohol. Mistake number six, not tracking your bites, licks, sips, and your parent tax. Mistake number seven, not double checking food labels and serving sizes. Pivotal point. Mistake number eight, not tracking total carbs and tracking off net carbs. Mistake number nine, an inconsistent weighing method. Our preference is raw dogget. Mistake number 10, only focusing on macros and not prioritizing food quality. Mistake number 11, eating out too much. And mistake number 12, not planning ahead. Is there anything else we really missed, big man?
That's some good ones there. I don't think we missed anything.
Alrighty then. Well, that's a wrap for today's episode. We just want to say thank you so much for listening to us. And if you got any value from this episode, we would love it if you shared it to your Instagram stories. Don't forget to tag us at brain.body.movement, at Brad Dapper, and at Brock_Dalglish so we can say thanks. It would also mean the world to us if you shared it with family and friends and left us a 5-star review. It helps us to expand, get into more people's ears, and ultimately help others. But before we go, we can leave you with a few things. Make your damn bed, get your steps in, and be kind to one another.
Cheers.
That moves us on to mistake number eight.
Nine.
It's eight, brother. It's definitely eight.
Inconsistent weighing method.
Yeah.
We've
And
got
then after
top.
that is number nine, only focusing on macros. Number 10. Oh, wait. Oh, it is nine. Fuck. Okay. We'll do that again.
Sounds good. I could count.
Okay, that moves us on to track row.